Hello, red shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I discuss how layout contributes to the utility of a role-playing game. But first, I have call-ins from Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast and Colin Green of the Spike Pit Podcast. Both are calling in about my last episode, where I discuss the tabletop miniatures and board games and my intent to get involved with miniatures wargaming at GaryCon next year. And it wasn't until after I had released last week's episode that I realized I didn't tie wargaming into Anchorites Appreciate Arneson Month. Arneson started off as a big wargamer, which was the big influence that gradually led to role-playing. So whenever you think of wargaming, you need to think of both Arneson and Gygax, because that's where their common interests brought them together for their initial collaborations prior to their D&D collaboration. But enough of that. On to the call-ins.
Hey, Larry. Jason here, Nerds RPG Variety Cast. Just want to say that you asked about war game backgrounds. You know, I played with toy soldiers just like you did, and we used to do Risk and Axis and Allies and all kinds of board war games and chip board war games. And now I have run, I'm not a big painter or anything. I'd like to be, but I'm not. I have a ton of war game stuff. I've got a ton of miniatures for them. I've got the Mars Attacks, like that war game, quasi war game. I've got all the stuff for that. I ran, and I should go look and see what I should have looked up the name of the game before I called in. But I ran a war game in Williamsburg. I think it's called Muster, but it's a war game. Well, it's a game convention in Williamsburg, Virginia. I ran that game, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago, and it was a modern war. I'm gonna have to go look up the name of the game now. I'll call you back with the name of the game, but basically the game had pretty good mechanics, and it was what I did was a scenario with modern Russians and Chechens, but where they were fighting was an area that it was an old nuclear disaster area. So the two sides, they're either Chechen rebels or they're Russians. But in the middle of the fight, these giant ants, like in the movie Them, came up and then attacked both sides. So it was kind of interesting game. But I ran that. I've done some other games. But yeah, I mean, I like the war game roots. I like the war games as much as the RPGs, especially for conventions, because I can go play with other people's toys. So, you know, that's always fun. Talk to you later. Larry, Jason here. The rule set I used to do that game, the modern Russian game with the ants, was force on force. That was the system. It was actually a really good system. I also played 2-hour war games before, done that at conventions. A variety of different ones, but yeah, I do enjoy war games. I like going to conventions for war games. But you know, if I was going to buy something just to use for a convention, I would borrow it or do what you're doing, use plastic figures, because the plastics are just so much cheaper. So, just something to think about.
Hey Larry, I've got a recommendation for you for a super approachable and fun war game. It's called Memoir 44. It's by Days of Wonder, designer Richard Borg. He come up with a whole system called Commands and Colours. You can normally, in the UK, I can't imagine this any different in the States, you can normally see this game going on at conventions. There are variations, like I say. One is Ancients, then there's a Napoleonic one, there's a World War One, there's a American War of Independence, American Civil War, a kind of feudal Japan. And is there any more? I think that might be it. There's a variation called Battle Lore, which is fantasy. So really enjoyable, heartily recommended. It is worth noting as well that you can take a look and play these games on various mobile apps. Definitely on Android. Pretty sure they're on iOS too. So there's another option. You know, if you was booked into a game and you wanted to get the gist of it, maybe check out some reviews or pick up the app, and when you've got a little bit of downtime, have a play on the phone. Okay, mate, take care.
Again, that was Jason of Nerds RPG Variety Cast and Colin of the Spike Pit Podcast calling in to talk about their experience with wargaming and some wargame rules that they recommend. I think it's interesting that Spike Pit mentions that you can try out some of these rules on your phone. I was digging around yesterday, and I forget the name of it, but there is a program that you can use to play board games that's used for online play-by-email tournaments, for example, old Avalon Hill board games. And in digging into Avalon Hill board games, Wizards of the Coast under Hasbro is now in control of all the big board game companies, Milton Bradley, Parker Brothers, Avalon Hill, and several others. And they're not really putting out any Avalon Hill board games. They're using the Avalon Hill name to put out games that were not developed by Avalon Hill, which is really sad, but I guess there's not much of a market for those anymore. But still, it was an interesting little endeavor I dug into. I'll have to have a separate podcast about that. But I really appreciate you guys calling in. And anybody else that wants to call in on this topic, as we've all found with podcasts, especially here on Anchor focused on role-playing games, we don't mind if you call in about long past episodes, because it's all about keeping the conversation going. Any topic that I've podcasted about in the past, I'd like you to feel free to call in. And if there's a topic I've touched on and you want to know more, let me know. Or if there's a podcast topic I've not yet touched on, let me know. So as I mentioned multiple times, especially leading up to my current campaign on Roll20, I use Delving Deeper. I really like Delving Deeper. I consider it a simple and easy to use rule set. I prefer the version 4 and use the book that you can get off of Lulu for $5. I wait till there's a sale on Lulu and I stock up and I take extra copies with me to conventions and I sell them at cost. So if we run into each other at a convention and you need a copy of Delving Deeper, hit me up. And I really like the simplicity of Delving Deeper because it is a presentation of original D&D. And in general, it is definitely much better organized for the sensibilities of the modern role player. I've read on a blog, I can't find the citation, that the organization of original D&D was geared towards the wargamer, and from the perspective of a wargamer, it is organized. So not being that immersed in the wargaming culture of the 70s, I can't speak to whether or not that's accurate or not. However, as the topic mentions, I've got some quibbles with the layout of Delving Deeper. While I really love the system, there's some things that the layout makes a little more difficult than it should. Now, the layout is a traditional layout. It's a well-done layout. It just does not have the modern sensibilities that everybody's talking about with the control panel layout, for example, that one sees in the new OSE old school Essentials, that's what it is. Old school Essentials used to be BX Essentials. And a big one of those is tables. I tend to find them harder to find when I need them. For example, when I'm working on preparing for a session. But thankfully, somebody has gathered all the tables into a spreadsheet with tabs for each chapter slash section. I use that to help combine the tables together that I needed for my purposes on Roll 20 and in my own spreadsheets. Perhaps the most frustrating one was the damage formulas. For example, when the formula says the damage is 6 to 21, you've got to stop and do some math to figure that out. And at first, seeing 6 to 21, I'm like, what the heck is that? Well, it was a duh moment when I realized all damage and hit points revolve around the D6, so I shouldn't be trying to figure out exactly what shape a die, because it's going to be a six-sider. But you still have to stop and figure out what the dice formula is, and 6 to 21 is 3d6 plus 3. Why they couldn't just put 3d6 plus 3 is beyond me. Was that for the nostalgia of old edition? I don't have a problem with original rules stated in a modern way. So I've gone through all the monster listings and added the dice formula where their damage is something other than a d6. And 6 to 21 is the damage from a stone giant. And so on all the different giants, I've translated 2d6 plus 2 and 3d6 plus 3 and so forth. Another thing is they have a brief monster listing that has one line per monster, but it leaves out the monster damage. How much damage does a monster do? So I took the listing of monsters off the spreadsheet and I added a column to put in the dice formula for damage dice. And so I have it on a Google Sheet, but I have to be online to use it or use screen space to use it. And my goal of being a light minimalist with fewer papers to shuffle through or windows to keep sorted on one or two monitors, that can be a challenge. I do have both a Chromebook and an Android tablet, so I could use one of them to have monster stats for quick lookups. However, that still requires carrying the tablet or the Chromebook to access electronic notes if I decide to have an in-person game. So printing out something on a single sheet and sticking that in my Delving Deeper book makes more sense. It also makes more sense to have the stats of all the monsters that I'm expecting to use ready and set to go. Speaking of that, I think it would be helpful for a bestiary listing for an adventure, especially a published adventure, if it would list the creatures in the order that you expect to find them in the adventure, so that you're not doing lots of flipping, and especially have a short format monster list in the text of the adventure where you find them, in addition to listing them in a separate section. Some things that are not tables that I expected to have tables. And since they aren't tables, they don't stand out as well as I would expect. For example, hirelings for torchbearers and porters is just a couple of lines of text, and it doesn't really stand out. So again, that's very minor, but the similarity of the typography with all of the type around it makes it just blend into the rest of the text if you're trying to find it in a hurry. And then some of the monster listings and tables don't have everything in one place. So giants, horses, dragons, and rocks, for example, have extra tables, but they're not all in one spot with all the information for those subtype of monsters together. I suppose they're trying to reduce duplication of information, but this secondary monster table should be a complete table, so you don't have to flip back and forth to get all the information you need to find it if it's not on the first table you come to. And I find that there's already enough page flipping just prepping for a session. Another minor layout issue is the cleric class. It's on basically two pages, but they're not facing pages or a spread. And so you've got to flip back and forth to see the level table with all the saving throws and hit points and the spell table and the undead turning table. So those are just some examples of how layout could be improved to make it easier to use. Nothing against the rules. It's merely the presentation. And one has to admit, if you've ever looked at the original D&D rules, Delving Deeper is by far much better presented. I just have found in game prep that it slows things down. And if one is pressed for time and having to make sure they've got everything they need in the short hour or two before a session starts, struggling to find what you want is quite frustrating. So I know Ray Otis and Cody Mazza have had collaborative episodes a couple of times between them, talking about what they like about Delving Deeper. I've shared some examples of layout hindering the use of Delving Deeper. Is there anything else about Delving Deeper that they'd like to see improved as far as layout? The one nice thing is it is OGL, so I'm debating on putting together my own reorganized Delving Deeper. I don't know that I can call it Delving Deeper. I definitely can't use their art. But since it's OGL, I can flip it around. Not that I'm trying to make money off of it. I'm not the best at layout, but if nothing else, I can fix a couple of things for my own use, and somebody that's better and faster at layout than I am could probably have it done a lot quicker than I could. So I could also go on about other RPG rules. For example, AD&D. I really love AD&D, but it doesn't keep things that logically should go together are not together. So Osric did a bit better job with that, but there's still a few things that could be improved. And that's what you find with anything, that it takes multiple iterations to find the optimal. And I don't know that we'll ever find the absolute best, but we can strive. So for those who are contemplating their own role-playing game, no matter how simple, or their own modules, keep an eye on how to make it easy to use, because definitely there are some that are not the easiest to use and require you to dig out all the books, put it all in one spot, and keep it simple. Those are my thoughts in general and specific to Delving Deeper. I really appreciate Simon Bull and all his efforts to keep working with Delving Deeper. So this is not a slam against Simon in any way. He's done a wonderful job of making original D&D more accessible.
D
To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com. My podcast is here on Anchor and is syndicated in many other places. If you listen to the podcast on iTunes, please leave a review. I also have a YouTube channel devoted to various RPG topics, like my series Roll 20 for the Absolute Beginner. You can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. Check out the social page on my blog to locate me across the various social media. I also contribute to Multiverse.World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways that you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is very important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on DriveThruRPG. I have over 12 and counting RPG-related PDFs on DriveThruRPG. You can also support me by using my link to Amazon. When you make an Amazon purchase, a small portion of that goes to me without increasing the cost to you. I'm also working on a card game that I plan to kickstart in 2020. You can find the sign-up for the announcement mailing list on my blog. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo by Satine Phoenix. I hope you all are having an awesome day. Thank you for listening, and game on.